Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service, giving penalties for statistical fouls. I'm Ruth Alexander.
And I'm Wesley Stevenson. It was the match the world wanted to see. That was according to Real Madrid manager Jose Mourinho. The Champions League clash with Manchester United in the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League lived up to the hype, and it ended 1-1.
It's said that Real Madrid and Manchester United are two of the biggest teams in the world, but how many fans do they have worldwide?
At Old Trafford, you could see that Manchester United claim more than 600 million followers. Official documents for its flotation on the New York Stock Exchange last year said that this number is actually 659 million. Now, Real Madrid don't publish a worldwide figure, but their director of communications has been quoted in the past as saying the club has 300 million followers across the world, which is still pretty big.
But how do they know? How do you survey the world?
Well, the figure for Manchester United is based on research by a firm called Kantar Sport. Their global head is Richard Brinkman.
We put the questionnaire to 54,000 people in 39 countries around the world. They were mostly online questionnaires. What we asked them was, do you follow sport? Do you follow football? We then asked them spontaneously to tell me, which is your favourite football club? They weren't given a list. They just wrote down their favourite football club. Subsequent to that, do you follow any other football clubs?
So from this survey of 39 countries, Kantar then extrapolates these numbers to get a worldwide figure. So while they didn't survey every country in Africa, for example, they were able to use their results for the countries they did survey to predict the numbers for the other countries. Now, Richard also told me that they try to account for areas that don't have the internet. They look at past surveys in certain countries to see how popular football is. And they also look at things like whether players from particular countries have played for Manchester United in the past 30 years.
And they come up with this figure of 659 million followers.
Yes, and they always use followers and not fans. So I asked why.
Fans tends to have a connotation of people who attend matches. Obviously, in a global and internet age, followers is a far more varied and wide-reaching measure that allows people to know how many people they can potentially engage with.
But as a follower, is that someone who would say they support Manchester United?
Yes, I think that's a fair assumption.
Is that an exclusive thing, or can they follow, or will they follow more than one club? Do you think?
They will follow more than one club.
So this is a survey of adults. That means that 659 million adults follow Manchester United worldwide.
That's more than 1 in 10 of the world's population, which has raised a few eyebrows. Nick Harris, editor of the sports business website sportingintelligence.com, points out that the last figure put out for the number of worldwide followers was 333 million. That was in 2007. So this means that Manchester United have doubled their following in just 4 years.
Which, if you think about it, is absolutely incredible.
If true.
Yes. Nick has also looked at the country-by-country breakdown in these figures and thinks that this throws up some odd results too.
Well, according to the survey, I mean, in South Korea, I think it was a third of the population. Now, Manchester United, until relatively recently, had a South Korean player called Park Ji-sung. It would not be surprising that Manchester United would be followed, in the loosest sense, by an enormous amount of people. However, how can it be that you can claim 15 million followers in a nation who are fans of that club, and yet a million or fewer of them can actually be bothered even to watch the games on television?
So how can these figures be right? I asked Richard Brinkman of Kantar Media how it was that the number of followers doubled between surveys and how there can be so many followers in individual countries.
One is people's exposure to the Premier League and football. Many more people are attached to the internet, the noise around football.
But to double
could drive
in
that.
4 years?
Well, those are the figures that came out, and the number of followers of football, 1.6 billion, suddenly it seems a bit more of a reasonable figure.
I mean, there are other figures that are pointed out. 30% of the population of South Korea count themselves as Manchester United supporters.
Absolutely.
According to this survey. Mm-hmm. That also seems like an awful lot of people.
Korea having a Korean player that's played for you for a long time does make a huge difference.
But it's not really reflected in the number of people who watch the matches in Korea, for example.
Yeah, but I would imagine that if you actually cumulatively look over the course of a season, probably no one won't have seen a Premier League game, or very, very few.
Kantar claims that it didn't just come up with the biggest number it could, which makes you wonder how high it could have been. But why was this number published at all, and why did they need such a high number? Nick Harris from Sporting Intelligence has a theory.
Well, the owners wanted to sell a portion of Manchester United's stock on the New York Stock Exchange. They needed to make Manchester United an attractive proposition, particularly to American investors. American sport particularly can be quite insular. Sports fans seem to think that, you know, globally, the NBA, basketball and NFL are global sports, but of course they're not. To be able to produce a figure where they can actually say 659 million people around the world follow our team, that's probably what they wanted to do here, to ram home quite how global football is.
The document that went with that stock market flotation makes interesting reading. First, it claims that 277 million of the 659 million fans are core fans, which raises a question in my mind about how committed the rest are.
And when looking at how Manchester United justifies the number of worldwide followers, I spotted a huge caveat. The stock market document says that although Kantar Media believes their methods are robust, there are inherent limitations with extrapolating results to an audience you haven't surveyed. And I quote, "As a result of these limitations, our numbers of followers may be significantly less or significantly more than the extrapolated survey results."
So even Manchester United themselves are not entirely convinced they've got 659 million fans.
I put this to Richard Brinkman of Kantar Media.
I suspect that's a legal caveat, but I would back my figures to within a 1% margin of error.
It also says that the assumptions made in looking at those who are non-internet users may reduce the number of followers in particular countries, but that's actually no guarantee that the assumptions that are applied are accurate. Is this figure actually meaningful at all?
Well, I think it's very meaningful. It's done in the most robust and sort of comprehensive manner.
Richard Brinkman. Whether it's possible to be accurate or not, football clubs do love to try to count their fans, don't they?
Yes, they do. Manchester United aren't the only club to put out these sorts of figures. It's just none has ever been this high before, or so much higher than their rivals.
Thanks, Wes. And while we're on the subject, this round of the Champions League did throw up a statistical surprise. UEFA ran a rehearsal of the draw, as it usually does. What was unusual was that the same teams were picked out to play each other in both the rehearsal and the real draw. There's been a lot of debate about what the chances of this are, so we asked statistician Michael Wallace to work it out.
To answer this question, what we were interested in finding out are how many ways you can pair up the 16 teams left in the Champions League. To start off with, without any restrictions on who can play whom, there are around 2 million ways to do this. But then we have these restrictions that start coming into play. The 16 teams that are left, 8 of them won their group stage in the previous round and 8 of them were runners-up. And the rules say that the group winners have to play group runners-up. Now that takes us down from 2 million all the way to 40,000 or thereabouts. But there are still a couple more restrictions. The two teams who are in the same group in the previous round can't play each other. And this gets us down to around 15,000. But then there's one more condition, which was that teams from the same country can't play each other either. And this is where we get down to about 5,500 different possible ways of arranging the 16 teams. Now, that's quite unlikely. It's about the chances of tossing a coin 12 times and getting 12 heads.
Michael Wallace. And if you want to hear more editions of More or Less, go to our website, bbc.co.uk/more or less. And if you have any numerical questions you'd like us to answer for you, you can email us at moreorless@bbc.co.uk.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.